This is the Dairy Download, brought to you by Blumling & Associates and the International Dairy Foods Association, where we offer extra sharp market and policy insights on dairy. I'm your host, Phil Plord.
And I'm your co-host, Kathleen Wolfley.
Today's episode is about women leading the dairy industry forward. First, we'll chat with the head of a Northeastern milk processor, and then we speak with the CEO of a major Midwestern cooperative. We'll get to that in a bit. As always, thanks to our listeners. If you enjoy this free podcast being delivered to your inboxes and favorite podcast apps every other week, please, please, please thank our episode sponsor, tell a friend about the show, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app.
Today's sponsor is Kansas Department of Agriculture. Ready to expand your dairy processing into the premier dairy frontier? There is room to grow in Kansas, the center of it all. Contact dairyinkansas.com.
All right, Kathleen, where are we now?
Phil, prices as of Tuesday, August 16th. Block cheddar closed at $1.89, up 7 cents on the week. Barrels finished at $1.95, also 7 cents higher. Butter closed at $2.96, unchanged on the week. And the non-fat dry milk market finished at $1.53, 7 cents higher. Phil, what is the most important thing right now?
I think China is the most important thing right now. I get it. China's always important, but there's a lot of questions about the economy today. Recent data shows slowing industrial production, slowing service sector activity, slowing retail sales. The real estate sector has been in rough shape and is getting rougher. So I think that, you know, we always wonder, what does all this mean for consumer demand in China? And what does it mean for dairy demand by extension? I think it's something to watch.
I saw some pictures on Twitter that were just showing empty storefronts in, I think it was in Shanghai. It just is a reiteration that it's been a tough stretch for the Chinese consumer and just the overall market in general.
What about you, Kathleen?
To me, I've been thinking about the cheese market, and $1.80 type cheese prices did seem to bring some buyers out of the woodwork. From a domestic standpoint, I think we found some renewed interest from the folks like hard Italian cheese buyers that, or folks that are putting product into aging programs. And hearing reports that the international bid has resurfaced as well, reigniting some export interest in bookings for the second half.
Let's not forget that you had the fearless prediction that we would drop toward that 175 area, and it happened in about 35 seconds. And then now we're seeing a little bit of rebound there.
Yeah, it turns out low prices cure low prices.
I've heard of that before.
What's your stat of the week, Phil?
Sort of related to the China story, my stat of the week is minus 3.7%. That was the decline yesterday at the GDT auction. 9 of the last 11 auctions have resulted in lower prices, a decline of 26% overall. So we're still going lower on the international stage. Some of the products firmed up. It was mostly a WMP thing, but minus 3.7% was the headline. What about you?
Well, this morning, hot off the presses, we have July retail sales, which showed flat activity. Food sales were up marginally, but that was driven entirely by rising inflation during the month. So still seeing those really big inflation numbers, and retail sales were pretty much flat on the headline. What is your fearless prediction this week, Phil?
I'm going to stay in the same lane and tell you that my fearless prediction is that the next GDT auction, which will be September 6th, will yield a higher auction average for the first time in 5 or 6 sessions. Higher GDT next time around.
For me, we have a doubleheader of USDA's milk production report and the cold storage next week. My fearless prediction is around the milk production report. I think we're going to see a better than 0.5% gain in production year over year for July. Well, Phil, let's get to our first guest.
We're really excited today to have Amy Gabriel with us. Amy is the interim CEO with Cayuga Milk Ingredients. Previously, she worked as Cayuga's VP and Director of Sales and Marketing and as COO. Based in New York State, Cayuga manufactures milk proteins, milk powders, and cream for use in a variety of food and beverage applications around the world. Amy, welcome to the Dairy Download.
Thank you. Happy to be here today.
So you find yourself in the CEO chair. Throughout your career, you've picked up some lessons along the way. What are one or two of those lessons that you're using today in your new role?
Well, I would say the biggest lesson I'm learning is, is the need to remain flexible. I think in the dairy industry, we all see ups and downs and items that we need to adapt to. And certainly having a leadership change at our company right now, you find out you need to remain pretty flexible and adaptable as you lead the company through a bit of change. So I think that's the biggest lesson that I take with the day-to-day job, whether working with my coworkers or when I'm looking out into the industry and trying to figure out what direction do we head next.
And in your opinion, Amy, what is special about leading a farmer-owned business?
Well, really it comes down to the people. When you're working with farmer owners, farm families are special people. There are not too many of them out there anymore. I myself grew up on a farm, got away from it a little bit at the start of my college career, and then realized very quickly that what I love so much about growing up on a farm, I could find in my workplace. And so really, working with the salt of the earth, the recognition that, the decisions we make every day at Cayuga directly impact the lives of our owners. I take that has a lot of weight, and it's pretty unique and special when you compare it to other opportunities out there.
So speaking of unique and special, you're operating in the Northeast. What special things does that bring along for the ride?
Being based here in the Northeast, we're blessed because we are near the population centers, but that is also can create its own challenges. So our farmers do have larger farming operations for the state, and we are very conscious of the people that live around us and the challenges that we have being located in the Finger Lakes. We have a lot of water around us, so we also have a lot of environmental challenges. I know some parts of the country don't have enough water, and here we often have too much. And so we do a lot of how do we manage water and keep things going.
And does that bring similar challenges from a plant standpoint as well?
It can. From the plant side, I think it actually gives us a lot of opportunities. So we have, the New York, Boston, and the Washington, D.C. populations that we can help feed. And also pretty uniquely, our operation set up to export. So we do a lot of exporting off the East Coast through New York and New Jersey port.
So your customers are broad, from local food makers to organizations addressing hunger halfway across the world. How do you stay connected to all of these different customers and stakeholders?
I really, in my role as a sales, when I was in sales and marketing, is really trying to understand what each customer is most passionate about. We have customers that really do, their sole mission is helping feed malnourished children. And we love being part of that goal. We have customers that their favorite thing that they're trying to do is make a high protein, low calorie milk to bring to the next generation. And we love the passion that that group can bring. It's really just trying to understand what each customer is passionate about and how that fits into the Cayuga model of delivering quality nutrition for a better life to the world. So part of the job that I really am passionate about myself, coming through the sales and marketing channel, but pretty unique spot to be in.
So we've gone through a period of great upheaval and uncertainty in the dairy supply chain. What's your outlook, and how are you preparing the company and your farmer owners for change and uncertainty?
Yeah, so, everyone loves to talk about COVID and all the changes we've gone through between, life as we know it as human beings, right through to just trying to figure out, how do we service a market that shuts down and opens back up. And so change is constant. I think it's always been constant. I think it will become more dramatic going forward. Consolidation continues. I've been in the industry over 16 years now. And I can remember we used to say, you could fit one representative from every dairy farm in the New York Yankee Stadium. And now I think you have even half of that. So it's really gone quite dramatically. We're starting to see consolidation continue. I think the environmental pressures are another piece that we've dealt with quite a bit here in the Northeast, but are getting even more intense, especially with more focus on greenhouse gas emissions and reduction of those. And then just, trying to diversify. Our group is small in the grand scheme of dairy. And so we just really are looking at how do we diversify our products, our portfolio, manage some of our risk moving forward, just recognizing some of these greater macro trends.
You touched a little bit about sustainability. How is Cayuga leading in sustainability, and how are you telling that story to customers?
Our farms have been really engaged over the years on sustainability practices. you know, we've had a farm that the local watershed protection group started to really pick on our farms and say, oh, you're polluting the lakes. And they signed right up and said, let's come and do a study on my farm. We'll study the water before the farm, on the farm, after the farm. And we were actually finding, you know, through the sustainability practices that they were making the water cleaner as it pushed through the farm and through the different buffers and such. So our group's been embracing some of the challenges. They really, you know, we really work before we make any statements to understand the science and what's behind it. You know, we've carbon footprinted every single one of our farms. We have an individual on staff that does that for us. So we know we have a consistent accounting, and we really try to also align. We're unique. We're located about 45 minutes away from Cornell University. So we've aligned with a lot of research with folks from Cornell, just trying to make sure that we have the best practices on the farms and then straight through into the milk plant, trying to make sure we're as efficient as we can be at the milk plant, capture as much water, reuse as much water as we can, and all of those types of activities.
Amy, I was your intern back in 2008, and now here we are on the Dairy Download. What do you think is the biggest thing that's changed for you since then?
Oh, Kathleen.
Better call the interns?
Yeah. No, Kathleen was a fun intern to have. I remember riding around in your beat-up BMW that you had at the time.
Surely, she was a good girl.
You know, since that time, it's really just the continued growth. I think about, and I joke about, when you're in a leadership role, you better know yourself quite well to be successful. And so over the years, you know, taking more time to understand not only yourself, but the people around you, what makes them tick, what's important to them. I think that's just the growing challenge for all of us, right? To be good human beings and to understand how you can positively impact people's lives and through your leadership and guidance or otherwise.
Yeah, along those lines, you know, can you talk about communication? How have you learned and how do you deploy effective communication, both with your team, but also with customers? And I think there's that huge community angle as well. What have you learned there, and what philosophies do you use?
Yeah, I think it's most important just to listen to understand first, understand where people are coming from, what's important to them. And then when you're responding to questions, concerns, different items, it's just keeping your communication simple, as straightforward as you can, you know, not making a lot of gray area, keeping it black and white, having a lot of clarity, and just trying to get the message across.
And what are you most excited about looking forward for your organization and for yourself?
Well, our organization is undergoing an expansion of our facility, so we're quite excited about that. I'm not going to get into a lot of the details, but we're expecting to break ground next year. So that'll be exciting for our farmers, continuing to let them grow their operations and continuing to build here in New York and support not only the infrastructure around the farms and the hauling network that we have set up, but also the employees at our plant. You know, we're very proud that we've grown our workforce to 95 employees, and we'll continue to grow that out and hope to double it in the next few years. So a lot of exciting things happening for the Keoga Group.
Well, Amy, we really appreciate your time today on the Dairy Download. Exciting insights, exciting things happening here in New York State.
Thank you.
Now let's get the co-op perspective.
We're excited today to have Cheryl Meschke with us. Cheryl is co-president and CEO of Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, the nation's largest cheese cooperative. Based in New Ulm, Minnesota, the farmer-owned co-op spans six states and produces product for some of the country's top dairy brands. Cheryl, welcome to the Dairy Download.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm a big fan of this podcast.
You know, we allow sucking up to the hosts. That is not out of bounds. So glad to hear that. And I'll go right back at you. You know, today you are the co-president and CEO of AMPI. From what I understand, in the future, you're going to be the solo president and CEO. Tell us about your role at AMPI, how it's evolving, and how do you interact with the co-op's producers?
So my co-CEO and I, Don DeVelder, have spent our entire careers in the cooperative form of business. Don's been with AMPI for 38 years and me for 32. So as co-CEOs of a cheese, butter, and powder co-op, we tell people our job is pretty simple. We take water out of milk. Now, on a serious note, we identify priorities, allocate resources for the team to succeed, and then in all things, we prioritize communication. That's really the basics of our position here. Leadership at AAMPI isn't about Don or Cheryl. It's a team of dairy farmers and employees who share the same vision and, as important, values.
So since you joined the co-op, what's changed? How have you been a part of that change?
When we assumed this role, we were really old shoes on a new course. Don and I had both worked for the cooperative, of course, for a very long time. So we asked a lot of questions, and that's really been key to our leadership, our approach. We asked our employee team and co-op leaders, in fact, three basic questions that we ask continually. What should we continue doing? In other words, what do we do well and what do our customers want? What should we stop doing? And number three, what trophy do we want on our mantle? Again, three guiding questions. And those answers have been our focus for the past 8 years. We knew that we make really good cheese, and we knew and know that demand for that continues to climb. So to capitalize on our cheese making strengths and rising consumer demand, we worked with the AAMPI board of directors to establish a plan to implement smart growth. And we define smart growth as beginning with customer demand, having confidence in the milk supply from member farms, and then lastly, investing in the manufacturing capacity to meet that demand. And so what followed was the largest investment in AAMPI manufacturing infrastructure since the co-op was formed in 1969. So the co-op's major cheese plants in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa are now all operating with state-of-the-art cheese-making equipment. I would add one more thing, that we also focused on our newly announced co-op crafted promise and trademark. And that is a mark that enables us to tell our story. And it's a point of differentiation for AAMPI in a crowded marketplace.
So 8 years ago, you went through the process of evaluating all that. And, you know, is there a point where you say, okay, you know, it's time to reassess these goals and ask these questions again? Is that an ongoing process, or is that, you know, is there a cadence to those questions? Is it something you look at every year? How does that work?
It's I'd like to say it's every day. Maybe that's a little too extreme, but we are continually assessing where we need to be. And when we look at the past decade, it's been about improving our cheesemaking capabilities. And really at AAMPI, the constant is we do two things really well. We provide a reliable, consistent market for our dairy farmer owners, and we make award-winning cheese, butter, and powder. But the next decade, that planning, again, we're going to adhere to those earlier questions, is going to focus on the whey side of the business. And that's where the next decade of investment needs to go for the dairy farmer owners of AAMPI.
Do you have a philosophy, a corporate or leadership philosophy that grounds you and helps you communicate effectively with both your members and stakeholders?
You know, I would say rather than a corporate philosophy, I operate with a co-op philosophy, a mantra of sorts. And I'll bet I say this every day. And that is, it's all dairy farmer dollars. And what that conveys is that every decision made impacts dairy farmers' livelihoods. And so that's very important as far as a mantra. As far as a leadership philosophy, communication is core here at AAMPI. And that's underscored with our flatline management team and an open book management style. Feel very committed to the fact that through that open book approach, we share information needed for employees and farmers to know how their individual contributions fit into the business as a whole. And then let me take it one step further. Our day-to-day leadership style consistently includes, I would say, five things. One is asking questions, a lot of questions. Knowing who owns a project, that'd be accountability. Being coachable, very critical to our team members. Being direct. And then finally, I would say, always having a plan B, C, D, and more when a change in direction is needed. You need to have that forward moving mindset. Never stop thinking about what's next.
In terms of your own career arc, if I'm not mistaken, you have a background in communications. And you know, how do you go from, you know, being a communications type person to, you know, learning everything or gathering everything to be the CEO of the whole enchilada?
So the background, although my first job was in communications, my background's in animal science and communications, and then later on went to get a master in business. But I think the best school of learning is all the many opportunities that a company like AMPI affords you to learn about the company, to learn about the industry. And quite frankly, developing a vision here is, it's not easy, but it's much more clear when you've worked with those dairy farmer owners for 30 some years. You know a couple generations of those families, and you're aligned with them and know what they want to see in their business.
Shifting gears a little bit, we've gone through a period of great upheaval and uncertainty as we look at the supply chain and economy. What's your outlook, and how are you preparing the company and your member owners for those uncertainties?
Yeah, the past couple of years have really proven the importance of having that plan B, C, D, and more ready to go. During times of upheaval and uncertainty, just look at our rearview mirror the past couple of years, we know two things in our business are constant, and that is cows make milk every day and plants need to run 24/7. And so from that point, we need to bulletproof our business. And I would offer some things that perhaps we've maybe focused on even more knowing the upheaval of late, and that is seeking and investing in talented individuals. We're investing in automation that's accelerated from perhaps where it would have been. And then always continue to focus on financial stability.
You know, co-ops are, you know, unique, special organizations within the, you know, and dairy industry more so than anywhere, I think. How do you walk that tightrope of balancing, you know, the need, you know, they're, as you said it, they're all cooperative and member dollars. And then how do you work with members and management to walk that tightrope between, you know, investment and next month's milk check?
Yeah, there's that very interesting cooperative business model where my bosses are dairy farmers. I work for dairy farmers. I also am charged with writing their milk checks, their paychecks of sorts. What really guides us is our dairy farmers are the very best at what they do. And they expect us to be the very best at what we do. And that is managing their manufacturing assets and then the ensuing sales and marketing. And so that is a balance you need to strike every single day.
What makes AMPI dairy products unique? How do you market those products to end users?
We make award-winning cheese, butter, and milk powders. So proud of that. And our customers count on us to consistently deliver excellence. After all, primarily being a private label company, they are entrusting AMPI to be the cheese, butter, and powders bearing their leading brands. That's a very serious charge. And on top of that, there is a real genuine story behind our award-winning products. As a cooperative, we can pinpoint the dairy farmers who produce the milk, the cheesemakers, the butter makers, and the rural communities they call home.
How do you see those offerings evolving in the future?
We know the world is hungry for U.S. dairy. It's demanding innovative flavors and healthy sources of protein. And cheese meets that demand, and it's seeing exceptional export growth, up 14% in 2021 and currently on track about 8% in 2022. So at AMPI, we're adding global customers to our sales portfolio. We're developing long-term relationships and consistently delivering high-value products, such as processed American cheese to China and Middle East, North Africa. So our newly introduced brand, Dinner Bell Creamery, is now the package, the brand that is made in Portage, Wisconsin, that's being delivered to high-end burger chains and brew pubs in China and MENA.
Who would have guessed that, right? That, you know, processed cheese, which kind of gets a bad rap in some circles, you know, and, you know, we're gonna make our splash in the world with processed cheese in China. It's kind of a remarkable thing, isn't it?
We are hoping that when the world is pushing its grocery cart, we want customers to choose the U.S. dairy aisle.
As noted, Don DeVelder, your partner in the corner office, so to speak, over the past several years, is going to be retiring, and you will be the solo CEO. What changes?
The co-CEO arrangement ended up being the ultimate in transition planning. So 8 years ago, our roles were quite defined. Don focuses on operations and me on business development. But that doesn't mean we operate in silos. In fact, we communicate constantly, rely on one another for feedback. So this will now continue with our team, our very flatline executive team that includes leaders of the co-ops, finance, operations, sales, marketing. We'll continue with that collaborative approach. But this is really important that our team recognizes that a co-op is here for us to take care of for a while. It's like a piece of land. Decisions made by co-op leaders are made with the next generation in mind. Again, the best word I can use to describe it is we're stewards. We're stewards of our dairy farmers' business. And I'm going to throw out a quote here that actually is on my desk, so I'll read it to get it right. And that is, it's from Senator John McCain. And it says, "Nothing in life is more liberating than to fight for a cause larger than yourself, something that encompasses you but is not defined by your existence alone." For Don and me, that cause has been working for farmers and providing opportunities for employees who have chosen to call those rural communities home.
Well, Cheryl, always appreciate the opportunity to catch up with you and get your insights. Thank you so much for joining us on the Dairy Download.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for today's show. As always, we want to thank our production team, Matt Herrick, Michael Gooden, and Andrew Jerome at IDFA, and Corey Romero over here at Blimlingen Associates. If you are interested in what Kathleen and I do for our day jobs, check us out at ever.ag. Remember, if you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform.
Thanks again to today's sponsor, the Kansas Department of Agriculture. Top-ranked transportation and shipping, along with being one of the fastest-growing milk-producing states, makes Kansas the center of it all. Contact dairyinkansas.com. Thanks for listening to the Dairy Download. Until next time, stay sharp.